Thank you. Thank you very much. And as we do turn here to Romans chapter 1, we read from this what many consider the most important book in the Bible. Of course, we thank God for all 66 books, and they're all inspired. But as we introduced this the last time we were together, we talked about just some of what people have spoken about the book of Romans. It's the chief book of the New Testament, the purest gospel, Martin Luther said. Of course, he owed his conversion to this when God illuminated his mind to understand it. He says, it can never be too much read or studied. The more it's handled, the more precious it becomes. And the better it tastes, it deserves to be known by heart, word for word, by every Christian. It's the greatest masterpiece which the human mind has ever conceived. Every great revival in history began with the unfolding of these doctrines. The French commentator Godet says, it's the most profound piece of extant literature. It's the greatest of all the apostolic works. Well, we said, as we reiterated last time, you know, it's what God enables us to say about it that really is the only relevant thing, although we appreciate what others have said about it. But also we noted just the obvious, that is that God chose Paul to author this book. And he was moved by the Spirit of God to write it. And as we compared Paul's background to the message of this book, we saw it's clearly a study in contrast. Before this book was written, the truth of this book, Paul basically was determined to kill anybody who believed the message of this book. But later, that's the person whom God would convert and God would call to write an inspired record for every generation of the church to benefit from. So it tells us this, that God wants his truth, how he wants it communicated. He wants it communicated through a changed life. God wants to first do a work inside us, and then he will inevitably do a work through us. Well, we talked about last time as we began this idea in these seven verses, these beginning seven verses, and how it speaks to the identity of a believer. He opens his book by calling himself a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Now, what I understand and what I've read about the city of Rome at this time, the majority in there were slaves. And he says, I'm a bondservant of Christ Jesus. Everybody is a slave. I mean, there were ones that had been bought into slavery, whatever. It's a little bit different than slavery we knew, the horrible thing we knew in our own country, but it was still slavery. And but he said, everybody, the New Testament would say, everybody is a slave. Of course, the unbelieving Jew, when Jesus said, you shall know the truth, the truth shall set you free, they were offended at the idea. We've never been enslaved to anybody. And he says, no, if you commit sin, you're a slave of sin. You're of your father, the devil. So everybody is a slave. What God wants to illuminate, the expression of freedom, is being a bondservant of Jesus Christ. A bondservant of Jesus Christ. That is freedom. And it's a privilege to be a slave, and it's freedom depending upon who your master is. But if your master is Jesus Christ, whom Paul had won his heart, he says, you know, the life I now live in this earthly body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. If you have a master that's devoted to you, if you have a master who loves you, and you can put your life in his hands, and you can really, freedom is really picturing yourself as who you are, your servant. My responsibility is to obey him at every stage of life, to obey him and look to him. His responsibility is to care for me. His responsibility is to provide for me. His responsibility is to give me direction. So whatever age you may be, from the youngest to the oldest, if you ever lose sight of who you are, you slip away from that freedom. Maybe a very young person looking, okay, what's my career to be? Well, you know, it's great freedom to know it's not just totally up to you to figure that out. You're a bondservant of Christ Jesus. And what will give meaning to anything you do, however menial or whatever, is you do it for the Lord. You do it for the Lord. You may be older, like myself, one day maybe be retired, but what, you're not retired because you're still a bondservant of Jesus Christ, the bondservant of him. As long as I have breath in my body, he has something for me to do. He has something for you to do. So a bondservant of Christ Jesus. So that's the way do you see yourself, okay? That's who I am. That's an identity. And when you see the truth of who your master is, oh, that's freedom. That's joyous to be a bondservant of Christ Jesus. To have somebody who's pledged to what? To love you and take care of you and to direct you and to provide for you. That's not just on your shoulders. That's a great blessing. That's a great blessing. You may have a good job and a company and draw a paycheck, but you know there's a bigger picture of who your heavenly master is and who orchestrates all that. And the most secure situation could change.